All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Welcome back to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. We have a great show for you today. John and I were really excited to do a live stream on the Bleacher Report app for the trade deadline. So it's 1:28 p.m. now Eastern, so about an hour before we go live on the app and an hour and a half before the trade deadline. But we're releasing this podcast after the fact, later tonight probably. So if you're listening to this, the trade deadline is already come and go, and hopefully you've watched the live stream and you tuned in and asked some questions and all that. It's going to be a great show, a crazy exciting trade deadline. We're going to get into all of that, lots to cover, probably more than we can even fit into an hour. But before we do that, I want to just touch base on a couple of things and let you know about our presenting sponsors. The first one is Bet99. It was voted the number one online gaming experience in Canada with same game parlays, player props, and flash bet markets. Elevate your experience at Bet99. Our pick this week is Timo Meier. He had a hat trick last night for the Devils. That's 4 goals now in 2 games since they made the coaching change. We talked on the show the other day about Meier possibly improving under Travis Green in a system change. It looks like that's happening. So I keep riding the hot hand and bet on Timo Meier. You have to be 19 plus to bet on Bet99. Play responsibly. Available to people in Ontario only. Remember, Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians. We are also presented by Tim Hortons, one of our newest sponsorships, and we're here to tell you about the awesome Roll Up to Win promotion for Tim Hortons' 60th anniversary, 60 years. You can play in the Tim's app to win prizes, including daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Only available until March 31st. Download on the Tim's app and get more information there. And for our partnership, we have our new take, Tim's Take, that's me. My take right now, and again, it's still about an hour and a half before the trade deadline, but the way things are looking right now, I got to say, right now, 1:30, Carolina is my winner for the trade deadline so far. There's still time. It could change, but right now they've added Jake Guentzel, who is the best forward on the market, and they gave up Kuznetsov, who is a big question mark at this point. There's still a lot of variables to figure out exactly what he's going to deliver, but if he's on, he's on, right? And if it works out, he's going to, you know, pay huge dividends for this team. And they made those two additions without giving up any of their top prospects or their first round pick. So it looks really good for them right now. And they've jumped up into that same tier as Florida in my mind as a top dog in the East right now. So Florida and Carolina, I think, are my two picks. And the final sponsor is DoorDash. You guys know the deal. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app and enter promo code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms may apply. Without further ado, here's our trade deadline show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. A little different one this time. We are live, the trade deadline show. We are excited to be on the Bleacher Report live app. Thank you for joining us. As always, Tim's here coming from North Carolina. Tim, how you doing, my friend? Thanks for showing up today.
I'm doing great. This is so exciting. I've been wanting to do something like this for a long time. And what better chance than the trade deadline and probably the most exciting one we've had in a long, long time. So very excited today.
I know last few trade deadlines, we have had absolutely nothing to talk about. It's just been a cricket fest. So we have a lot of deals to talk about. Very exciting stuff. But first of all, Tim, How's your love life doing? How's everything going on in that regard? Do you want to get into that before we get into the hockey stuff or no?
Man, we can either do that or talk about trades, but either way, we need the whole hour. So I feel like we should talk about some hockey instead.
All right. Well, if you're an eligible woman out there, Tim is actively looking for someone to date and share his life with. So feel free to reach out to Bleacher Report or whoever. Find us on social media because he is he's looking. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. Ask Alex. He'd be a great catch. Care of that for her.
Producer Alex and all of the messages to Tim. But anyways, let's get into it. First trade, Tim. It happened yesterday. This was kind of the linchpin that started everything. After this trade went through, everybody started getting a little nervous, but everybody got a little more active. And it's funny how the trade deadline works. Usually today, March 8th, is where everything happens. But it seems like yesterday, March 7th, when all the meat of most of the trades happened. But so Anthony Mantha traded to the Vegas Golden Knights from the Washington Capitals. He spent 4 years in Washington. Very unremarkable 4 years he had with the Washington Capitals. What did you make of this trade? Did you like the Vegas Golden Knights going out and getting this guy, or kind of they jump it too early to get Anthony Mantha?
No, I liked it. You know, it had an unremarkable 4 years, but so did the Capitals. You know what I mean? And so it's not like they were all doing great things and he didn't really fit into it. That said, he was playing fourth line minutes by this point this year. So despite that, he's put up some solid numbers. He's going to be a 20 goal scorer and he'll really add a lot of depth to the bottom six for Vegas, which is already really strong. And he is a guy because he's put up multiple 20 goal seasons in the past. You can move him up and down the lineup if you need to. So I think it's a great pickup and really just the first of several that they've made so far.
Yeah, I think until Mark Stone comes back, hopefully they're slotting him in second line with Carlson and Stevenson. So hopefully he can fill that spot and run with it and be the player that everybody thought he should be. You know, the 20-goal scorer, 30-goal scorer, power forward, get in front of that, be a hard guy to play against, a la kind of an Anderson from Montreal type ilk. That's the player that they want him to be, but he hasn't really lived up to those expectations. But it's funny, when you go to a different city, you play with some premier talent. Not that he wasn't playing with premier talent in Washington, but when you're around Stanley Cup winners, Jack Eichel, Carlson, Stevenson, it kind of rubs off a little bit. But I honestly don't expect a ton from Anthony Mantha. But it was a good early first salvo for the Vegas Golden Knights, getting a nice depth piece in Anthony Mantha. All right, moving on. Speaking of the Vegas Golden Knights, maybe the biggest piece in free agency. Everybody was wondering what the Calgary Flames were going to do. Noah Hanifin was their prize jewel. They've been holding on to him like Frodo in the ring. My precious, I don't want to get rid of him. They offered him an 8-year contract at the beginning of the season. They were trying to get it done through the whole season. Noah Hanifin didn't want to be in Calgary. I don't blame him. Everybody wants to just jump ship from the Flames, it seems. Finally, they traded him, Tim. They send them to the Vegas Golden Knights. Kind of an out of the blue last second Hail Mary by the Vegas Golden Knights. We thought Hanifin might go to a couple other teams, but they get Noah Hanifin. They get Mantha. They get Hanifin yesterday. What did you make of this?
Yeah, this was a great move by Vegas. Obviously, he's the premier defenseman on the market. He was before he got traded, and he can do just about anything you ask him to do, a la Petrangelo, I think. He can play on the power play. He can play on the penalty kill. He can play at the end of the game in those crucial minutes. He can log 20-plus if you need him to. And he skates really well. He's a left-handed shot. And it wasn't on my radar. We talked about Vegas probably adding more, but I thought they were going to add more up front. And then you saw that the reports from Dreger and some of the other guys, Frank Thane, like Vegas is making a push right now out of nowhere, like you said, for Hanifin, and they get the deal done without having to give up a whole lot. A conditional first round pick, a conditional third round pick, and a prospect, Daniel Miramanov. I don't even know who that is. You know, the first round pick is going to be a late first round pick. You know what I mean? I would have thought that Hanifin could have gone for more. So I think it's an excellent addition for Vegas. And when you pair that with Mantha on top of the roster that they've already gotten, especially if Mark Stone comes back, like you said, this is a really strong team that got even stronger in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, and the reports out of Calgary, what I was hearing is Hanifin really did have a lot of control on where he was going. Craig Conroy, I don't know if they were working together, but he wanted to go somewhere where he could re-sign, where he could set down roots, and Vegas was one of those teams. So it seems like they've already started on those contract negotiations, so it wouldn't surprise me if this guy stays there a long time. And you nailed it with the Petrangelo thing. They can launch those two guys out there for 25, 30 minutes a game, and they do everything. power play, PK, that's a pretty formidable duo going into the playoffs. When you always shorten your bench come the third period, if you can throw those guys out there and then you pick from the rest of the six who are already Stanley Cup champions, most of them, they've been in those wars. You can kind of pick and choose who you throw out there. So I like this play by the Vegas Golden Knights. It fits. And then obviously we had the facilitator, the Philadelphia Flyers, coming in, eating some of that cap. So he went from Calgary to the Flyers. The Flyers eat some of that cap. Then it goes from the Flyers to the Knights, and the Knights only end up spending $1.2 million on Noah Hanifin. It gives them $3.8 million left to spend if they want to do something else this trade deadline. They have 23 minutes left, but it wouldn't surprise me if they do go out and get someone else to either add depth to their decor, which is already insanely deep, or to get another scoring option up front, which is where I think they should go. But just what a great deal for the Vegas Golden Knights. I love what this defense GM does.
Yeah, the defense is so strong. You didn't even mention Shea Theodore, who's also like probably a number one defenseman on a lot of teams, and it takes so much pressure off. And I don't know how they're going to, you know, do the pairings yet, but you're basically going to play against one of those three guys for the entire game. No matter what the lineup matchups are, like one of those guys is going to be on the ice, if not two of them, for 45, 50 minutes, you know what I mean? So it's going to just create, especially like in the later rounds, which Vegas is geared up to do. There's so many miles, there's so many hard minutes. The more legit number one defenseman you can get, the better. And now they have arguably three. So Vegas is just primed for another deep cup run.
And then Hanifin being a left-handed shot is huge. I think people undervalue the fact that they have a left and a right, and they're both terrific players. They're not playing on their offside. It makes the game so much easier. When I played in the NHL and I would throw on my offside, I would tell my D partner or wing partner, just don't even bother passing it across because it's going to explode off my tape and we're going to lose possession. So just dump it in or just get rid, because I don't want it on my back. I say that now to my beer league guys. Like, I'm going to go D to D here. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, there's no point. So these guys playing on their strong side, it's a huge advantage, especially in the D zone, in the offensive zone. Man, this is a good trade. It's a very good trade by the Vegas Golden Knights. All right, moving on. Another team that's making some noise. Very uncharacteristic of this team. This is a team that usually plans for the future. This is a team that doesn't like to give up assets for players that maybe aren't in their control for the years moving forward. Well, they did just that in the first trade. Jake Guentzel, Hanifin on defense. Jake Guentzel was the guy in offense. He was the prize pick. Even though he's hurt, he's coming back from injury. I talked to his agent. He's feeling good. I'm trying to get Jake on the show. Hates podcasts. He hates me. It's fine. I'm trying my best, Tim. He got traded to the Carolina Hurricanes out of nowhere. I didn't know Carolina was even a player for him. I heard Tampa Bay. I heard other teams kicking the tires on him. The Vancouver Canucks were trying to make a sign and trade deal, get rid of Lindholm. Are you shocked? You're a Carolina guy now, Tim. Did this just make you super happy?
It did. It did. I'm not even a Carolina fan, but as a hockey fan, I want the good teams to get better. And Carolina, like you said, has been reluctant to add at the deadline in recent years, which has been to their detriment. They've gotten beaten by teams who have been very aggressive at the trade deadline, and they've been missing a couple of pieces. And one of them has been having a finisher, having that guy you can go to. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Aho, because he's an incredible player, and Svechnikov is there when he's healthy, but he's missed a lot of time, including in the playoffs. And so adding a guy that was the premier talent available at the deadline, especially as a forward who has two Stanley Cup rings, who has been a proven playoff track record, and he's a great guy in the locker room as well, and he just fits in so well. This is exactly what they needed. And the best part is they didn't really give up a whole lot. I mean, it looks like a lot. I'm going to go through the line. Michael Bunting is the biggest piece in terms of NHL players. Couple of prospects as well, a second round pick, a fifth round pick, both conditional. The second round can turn up into a first round of Carolina mix to the Stanley Cup finals, which they have a solid chance of doing. But of course, if they do that, that's worth the price. But we've talked about them needing a finisher, needing that guy who wants to puck on his tape late in the game when you need a goal. Jake Guentzel is that guy. So a really tremendous trade for this team, and I'm really excited for them, happy for them to finally take that lead.
Yeah, I think this is reactionary from last year. They lost four straight to the Florida Panthers. And if I'm correct, I want to say three of them went to overtime. They were all one-goal games. I know Matthew Tkachuk got three game winners in that series. Carolina didn't have that guy to kind of push him over the edge. And I'm not saying Guentzel is, but he's been doing it forever. So he has the track record. He plays with superstars. He knows what it takes to win. I like this move. I'm shocked that they made this move. This is an organizational shift for them and how they do work. Waddell and Brind'Amour, they're forward thinking guys. So I'm so impressed that they made this move. At the beginning of the year, they got Pacioretty. They wanted him to be that guy. Didn't work out. They bring in some other pieces. This is what I wanted to see. Svechnikov was hurt. He's back. You get Svechnikov. You get Gensel. You already have Aho. You got Teravainen, who I think is one of the most underrated players in the league. And then to the next guy we're going to talk about. But even without this next guy, Carolina's dangerous, Tim. They're checking boxes of what they needed. So what did they do next?
Yeah, they traded for Evgeny Kuznetsov. And so this is the guy that was waived last week. Surprisingly, just he wanted out of Washington. They reduced his price by waiving him. He was sent down to the AHL. He showed up to practice even. I don't think he played a game, but we talked about, I think he would have played, but he was anticipating a trade, and here it is. So he was traded to Carolina, and Washington's retaining 50% of his salary in exchange for a third-round pick in this next coming year, 2025. So still a year and a half away. I love this move as well for them. You know, it's a little bit of a question mark. There are so many variables with Kuznetsov in terms of his health, in terms of his age, in terms of his attitude. Even he's one of those just guys that he can surprise you, but you don't always know what you're going to get from him. But they're going to give him a shot in the top six. And the lines projected right now are Svechnikov, Aho, Teravainen, Gensel, Kuznetsov, Nechas. And then their third line is still Jordan Staal with Nason and Seth Jarvis, friend of our show. So that's as good as a top six or top nine as any in the league right now, if Kuznetsov turns out to be what we think he can be. If it doesn't work out, it's a low risk. You didn't give up a ton of capital. You didn't take on a ton of salary because they retained 50% of it. But I feel like it's going to work out, and I hope it does.
It's all a matter of which guy are you getting, you know, because when they won the Cup, the Capitals in 2018, this guy was incredible. 32 points, 24 games, making big plays, making big passes, really outplayed mostly all the players on their team. John Carlson played terrific that Stanley Cup run, but it was Kuznetsov who was, you know, the most dangerous forward out there, overshadowing Backstrom, overshadowing Ovechkin, as hard as that is. Is he that guy again? Because ever since then, it's been a slow and just systematic drop in play. He had the one bump in 21-22, and then it was right back to kind of a descent in talent and effort and everything across the board. And then it kind of just bottomed out this year. Obviously, he went to the player assistance program. He had some issues with substances. We don't know. We don't want to get into those allegation games. But if he comes back and he's motivated and he wants to get after it, this guy could be dangerous. It could be a real good get for the Carolina Hurricanes. And the one thing I like about him going there, they have a culture in Carolina that will keep him in check. You know what I mean? You got Brent Burns, you got Jacob Slavin, you got Jordan Martinook. You have these guys who are just the salt of the earth type guys who will keep them in check. And then obviously you have Rod Brind'Amour as a coach who has a better handle on his team than most coaches do. So I'm not worried about him. I just worry about his effort. These guys buzz around the ice. There's no time to sit back if you're Kuznetsov. Can you keep up? The pace of play with the Hurricanes is the fastest in the league. Does he want to put that effort in? The same can be said about Jake Gensel. Gensel's not been known to back check and try hard, but he's a goal scorer. So what are you trying to say, Tim? I keep cutting you off.
Yeah, well, we have a trade to announce. Another one just went through. Matt Dumba and a seventh from Arizona have been traded to Tampa Bay in exchange for a fifth-round pick in 2027, no salary retention. The Tampa adds as well, they already traded for Anthony Duclair earlier this morning. Now they're getting another guy that Dumba hasn't been the same since he left Minnesota and probably wasn't even his best for the last year or two of his contract in Minnesota, but he can only get better, right? And this is some of the we know Tampa was in on Hanifin, obviously didn't get him. And Dumba's sort of a backup plan there. He can't do what Hanifin does at this point of his career. He can't fulfill Sergachev's spot, but he still adds some good veteran leadership, and he can still play pretty well. Loves to play the body, as we know. We saw that hit on Connor Bedard the other day. So what are your thoughts on Dumba to the Tampa Bay?
Badly needed. Like you said, Sergachev done for the year. They need someone to help out that decor. They really are a hurting unit. You have Hedman and Chernak. Yeah, they're great. But after that, it's not great, Tim. It's not great. So Dumba adds that veteran aspect. He can play all over the lineup, and he has lost a step, but I like it. He's a body you can throw in there. And these guys will be a force to be reckoned once we get to the playoffs. But is it going to move the needle too much? I don't know. Do you think that just pushes them over the edge? Maybe they win a round? Maybe. But yeah, they had to do something. They missed out on Hanifin, who they were talking to about a contract extension. So they missed out on him. You got to get Dumba. There really was no other defensemen out there who were worth going after. All right, Tim, what are we talking about next year?
Let's stick in Florida for a second and talk about the Panthers, who added Vladimir Tarasenko yesterday in a trade with Senators. So the trade was Vlad, and they retained 50% of his salary in exchange for a fourth-round pick, conditional, and a third-round pick. Right away, right off the bat, everyone was talking about how low the return was. They were very surprised that he wasn't commanding more. The report even that I read from LeBron, Pierre LeBron, earlier this week, that he was asking for a first, the Senators were. Here's why it's tricky. Vladimir Tarasenko had a full no-trade clause. He had total control over where he was going to be traded, which really limited the Senators' options and dampened the return. And so he had family in Florida. It made sense. He wanted to go there. And he said afterward he wasn't really considering anywhere else. So Tarasenko's now in Florida. What did you think of this trade?
Imagine being Ottawa's GM, and you're trying to contact all these other places to trade Tarasenko, and Vladimir's like, Florida, that's it. You have a full no move clause, Vladimir. Where do you want to go? Pick your spots. You know, give me some people I can call. Florida, that's it. Florida, maybe. Florida, that's it. Like, talk about just having leverage. If you're Florida, you're like, I'll give you a fifth, maybe. Does that sound fine? You're like, okay, I have to. So I think Ottawa did the best they could. But he fits in perfect with Florida. If he can perform how he did last year, he's performing this year. The Panthers, already dangerous team, Tim. They are just, they're scary good. And he plays the type of hockey that Florida plays. He's heavy. He just gets on the puck. He fits in perfectly with that group. Get rid of Huberdeau. He didn't fit that culture. Get rid of these guys. We are a heavy team to play against, and we are talented, and we're going to go right through you if we want to. We can go around you, but we can go through you. I've ran into Tarasenko on the ice. Guy's a load. Like he's a big dude. You put him with Barkov. You put him with Reinhardt. It's a pretty impressive first line, and then you throw it for Hagee and Tkachuk and Bennett on the second line. Like, I don't want to play either of those lines. They're just pricks to play against. I like this move from Florida. I really do.
Well, and how about this? They also traded for Kyle Okposo this morning from Buffalo. He was their captain in exchange for a seventh, which turns into a fifth if the Panthers win the cup. So speaking of being pricks to play against, it's now going to be Okposo on the fourth line with Ryan Lundberg and Nick Cousins. Is that just like a nightmare fuel for other teams' fourth line and defensemen? Like you're just getting the extracurriculars every single time they're on the ice.
You think Okposo's hard to play? Like he's a pesty type player.
He's a big hitter. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how fast he is at this point, but Florida obviously values him enough to put him out there. So it's more about the other two, I think. But yeah, he's a scrappy dude.
I think this is going to be good for Florida because this is the Ray Bourque trade. They want to get Okposo a cup. It'd be fun. He hasn't won anything. Not that the guys in Florida have won a Stanley Cup, but Okposo, he's got to be almost 40 years old. You would think. He's not young. So I don't think this does much. He's just a depth piece. He'll help out the young. They don't even have young kids. I honestly don't get this deal, but it's good for Kyle. He's been languishing in Buffalo for how many years, just eating the basement every single year. So he gets out of there. He has a legit chance to win the Stanley Cup. He might not play every game, but it's good for him. It's reminiscent of when they went and got Jumbo. Jumbo didn't play every game. He was around, but yeah.
We have a great chat question from PGOT1032. The Panthers shook up their team a lot. Is that a good idea when you're already the best team in the NHL? It brings up the point, do you risk like confusing the roster or mixing things up and actually doing some damage by adding to an already elite team?
It does. If your team is fragile and stuff, we kind of saw it with Florida when they brought in Giroux and Chariot. It didn't really work out too well, but I think these guys are already so well ingrained in their system. I don't think you're bringing in a player who's going to disrupt that. I think you have to be careful the type of play you bring in. That's why Tarasenko, like I mentioned, fits so well with this group. He plays the type of hockey that these guys play. He's not one of these perimeter type players who dipsy doodles and is trying to make east-west plays. These guys go north-south and they get after the other team. They get on the forecheck and they make it difficult to play against. And that's how Tarasenko plays. If you're trying, like, I don't know if Jake Guentzel would fit with this group. I don't know if it would work. He's a great player. I'm sure they would be lucky to have him, but I think Tarasenko works better. Just like last year when I said Barbashev would be the most impactful player going to Vegas. He wasn't really on anybody's radar. He fit that group really, really nicely. And then he goes out and he plays fantastic. This Tarasenko move, Tim, could be the most impactful trade this year just because I feel like he fits this system really nice. I don't think Gensel fits perfectly with Carolina. He is a need that they answer. I don't know if he's going to want to play the same game that they play. Tarasenko is going to fit perfectly with Florida. Like, I'm excited to see this team rolling when he gets to Florida.
So let's shift over to Colorado, which I know is a team that you're very excited about what they're doing at the deadline so far. They've made a couple of trades. The first one here yesterday, they acquired Sean Walker in a fifth-round pick from Philadelphia in exchange for Ryan Johansson and a first-round pick conditional, which is top 10 protected. What are your thoughts on that trade so far?
You know, when you're a kid and you lined up the dominoes and you tipped one and they all would go over? This is what Colorado was doing with all of these trades. They all work together. Without this first one, you can't do the second one or the third one or the fourth one. And then the final one is they win the Stanley Cup. This was the first trade that they had to do in order to do every other trade after that. Sean Walker's a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong. He's dynamite. He's having a great year in Philadelphia. He's coming over to Colorado, who already had a great defense. So everybody scratches their head. Why are we doing this? We're getting this guy. Here's the big takeaway from this. You get rid of Ryan Johansson. Bye. More importantly, you get rid of his salary. $4 million. Bye. Huge. Once they check that box, they're able to do so many more things because Sean Walker will be their 3-4 guy. He's not going to displace Makar and Taves, who play a million minutes a game. Sean Walker was the linchpin. They needed to do this in order to do the other deals that they did. And so it's just a bonus that he's a fantastic player. So you get this deal done. Give away a first rounder. Who cares? Conditional. Top 10 predicted. It's a first rounder. It'll be 25 plus because they're going to go on a run and they might win the Stanley Cup. It could be the 31st overall pick. 32nd. Is there 32 teams in the league now?
There are. Yep. Welcome.
Gosh, I'm getting old.
Let's talk about keep going.
I was just going to say.
Colorado. Colorado, they also traded Bowen Byram for Casey Mittelstadt, the 1-for-1 trade with Buffalo. This is another one that I feel like people are excited about, where Bowen Byram was a guy that was very highly touted coming into the league. He was a high pick. He was an excellent talent in juniors and everything like that in the world juniors, but it never really worked out. And a lot of it had to do with injury, and they go and get Casey Mittelstadt, who is exactly what they needed as a second line center. They've been missing that since they got rid of Kadri last year. And Ryan Johansson was supposed to be that guy, and he just hasn't been. He wasn't. He's gone now. So now Casey Mittelstadt fits in. What do you think about this trade so far?
Well, let's go back to Johansson. Was there a little rumors that he wasn't meshing well with guys in the room? What happened there, Tim?
Yeah, Adrian Dater, who's one of the insiders and beat reporters in Colorado, said his sources told him that there was relations between the Avalanche core players turned sour within the last 2 weeks with Ryan Johansson. It was a problem that was addressed today, meaning the trade. Obviously, we don't know what Johansson has to say about this, but bottom line, there was friction in the room. Now, if you remember last month, Devin Toews, one of their star defensemen, called out his teammates in the press after a loss. He said, quote, "I think we got some guys that think they're playing well, and I think they're kidding themselves at this point. It's frustrating to play out there when you got guys that think they're playing well and you have no idea what play they're going to make or where they're going to be on the ice. It's tough to play in this league when you don't know where your teammates are going to be." We weren't sure exactly who he was talking about. We knew it wasn't Makar and McKinnon and Rantanen and those guys. Some names came up. It's pretty clear that it was Johansson, and they were basically like, "Don't let the door hit you on the way out."
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't fit the moment he walked in there. He had an okay season, but they want him to be a second-line center, so they get rid of him. They get rid of his salary, and that allows them to go and trade Bowen Byram. You mentioned it. I think it was a fifth overall pick. This guy's a stud, Tim. This guy could potentially be one of the best defensemen in the league if he wasn't buried in the depth chart behind Cale Makar. That's it. Like this guy's getting 25 minutes on any other team except for Colorado. And the type of player he is, he is a poor man's Cale Makar, because that's what he likes to do. Get up in the ice, move the puck, be active in the offensive zone. So they had the rare luxury of trading a guy of his ilk to go and get a Casey Mittelstadt, who you said they desperately needed. Their second line center role has been vacant since Kadri left. They tried everybody else. Nothing has worked. This is a huge win for Colorado. This is why I think they win the day. They get Sean Walker, who can replace Bowen Byron, by the way. Sean Walker's a very serviceable offensive guy. He gets up in the rush, he scores goals, and he's pretty darn good defensively. Then they can go out and get Casey Mittelstadt. What? It's crazy that they pulled this off. Buffalo was, they were wavering on whether to trade this guy because he's leading them in points. He's having a fantastic year. Is he a part of their young future? Obviously not. They wanted to get another piece on the back end, who they have a loaded back end in Buffalo all of a sudden. They get Dahlin. They got Power. They got this guy. They got Samuelson. They have Connor Clifton. Buffalo's back end is loaded. But yeah, this trade makes the day for me for the Colorado Avalanche. If and when they win the Stanley Cup, it's because of this trade right here. Depth in the playoffs is super important. And what do I say wins championships, Tim? Always.
Back end and strength down the middle.
Strength down the middle. This guy gives you two 1A centermen to go out there every other shift. It's incredible that they can pull this off and get this guy, who, by the way, you still have club control over next year. He's going to be an RFA. Oh, and you still have money to play with because you still have a little bit left over from Johansson's deal. But anyways, very good stuff.
Well, one more thing on Colorado, too, by the way. Gabe Landeskog, their captain, is skating at 75% reportedly, again from Adrian Data. It hasn't pushed fully yet, so it's kind of a race against time for the playoffs. Still not likely, but there's hope. And that's something they didn't have before. So it would be kind of cool, even just like Mark Stone, like the impact that he would have if he's healthy going into the playoffs just puts that team over the top, in my opinion.
Oh, and you have Nishushkin, who's getting ready to come back too. So you could potentially throw out McKinnon, Rantanen, Nishushkin, Lykkanen, Mittelstadt, all the Landeskog. Like it's just like Florida. It's a pretty dangerous top six. I like it.
We've got another breaking trade, and it is a doozy. Per Chris Johnston 2 minutes ago, as per Bob McKenzie, Vegas is working on a trade with Thomas Hertl from San Jose. Wow. Is this, oh man, this is like, this
holy is an NBA moly.
That's a LeBron type trade. He's pulling the strings there.
This amazing. This is the biggest trade of the day. If this, and we just mentioned earlier on, the Vegas Golden Knights still had $3.8 million to play around with. And they went out and they swing for the fences and they get Thomas Hertl. They have to be giving up this year's first rounder. Would not surprise me if they give up 2026's first rounder, because Thomas Hertl, I played with him in San Jose. This guy is, if you think of Jaromir Jagr, I don't want to blow smoke up his behind. This guy is as close as it gets to Jaromir Jagr as you can get. He is absolutely a fantastic hockey player. He is a moose on the ice. Crazy. If they can get Thomas Hertl, if this trade goes through, which who released it, Tim?
Bob McKenzie and Chris Johnston. So it's not official yet, but it's happening.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Friedman said it's going pending trade call. It's done.
They win the day. They get Hanifin, they get Mantha, they get Thomas Hertl. You get Mark Stone back potentially. You have Jack Eichel. Talk about strength down the middle. When you have Stone, and you have Eichel, and you have Thomas Hertl. Holy guacamole, you have Pietrangelo and Hanifin on the back end. How does that okay. How does Kelly McCrimmon do this? I'm so shocked and impressed that he just goes for it all the time. He has faith in his team. He wants to win, and he goes out. Even when you go back to the expansion, this guy didn't play it safe. He didn't go into the expansion draft and like, oh, I want to make sure I have this and this. I don't want to burn any bridges. I want to be safe. That he went balls to the wall in the expansion draft and started picking superstars, and he just took the best players available. Contrast to that to Seattle, who was very calculated, very safe, didn't want any big contracts, didn't want to ruin their future. The criminal was like, we're winning now. We're winning today. And he went out and he put together a very good team. Obviously, they went to the cup final, I think, 2 years later. And he's still doing it to this day. This is unbelievable. Thomas Hertl desperately wanted to get out of San Jose. What did you get the terms of it yet, Tim?
Not yet. It's still coming through, but I just wanted to say, you mentioned they go all in all the time. Our friend Pete Blackburn tweeted out the other day when they made the Tarasenko trade. He's basically said, like, Vegas acts as if there's a meteor coming to Earth, and they're like, we might as well just trade for everything because we're all going to die soon anyway. Like, that's the intensity that they have with approaching the trade deadline. And more GMs should do it. Like, obviously, you're not going to win the cup every single year, but if you're that close and you feel like you can go get a piece or two, give up the prospects. give up the first round picks. You already have an elite team. You don't need them. And it sounds so easy, but Vegas is living it. They're walking it right now. So Friedman said it's happening pending the trade call. We're still waiting for the return.
I wonder if we could get what the highest salary cap on a team post playoffs is, because this could be the highest salary cap of a team post playoffs that we've ever seen. You got Jack Eichel make 10. You got Mark Stone, who makes 9.5. Alex Martinez, when he comes back, makes 5.25. You have Thomas Hertl, who makes 8.1375. Obviously, you have Peter Angelo. You have all these guys. Tim, they could be pushing $100 million all in when the playoffs start. So I wonder who has the highest. I remember Vegas when Kucherov was out. They grabbed some players. Or not Vegas, Tampa Bay. I'm like shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. When trades like this happen, it makes me wonder, what are all the other GMs doing? What are the Rangers doing? What are the Leafs doing? What are the Bruins, the Red Wings, the Kings, all these other teams who are supposedly in the hunt for a Stanley Cup? What are we doing, fellas? Are we just sitting on our hands? It's unbelievable. It's wow. So, good for Vegas. Good for Kelly McCrimmon.
We're getting questioned in the chat about just the LTIR. Obviously, you got Stone there right now. Vegas does it seemingly every year. And I know we talked about it, John. We have a podcast called Dropping the Gloves. If you're watching and streaming, you don't listen to it, go check it out. We talked about it there, but I want to talk about it again just quickly, get your thoughts on, is this – it's not cheating because it's legal. Is it cheap? Is it cap navigation, circumnavigation, or do you think it's totally legitimate that they're doing stuff like this?
They're allowed to do it. So it's within the rules, and the way it works, if you put someone on the LTIR, that money immediately comes off of your cap. So Mark Stone, like I mentioned earlier, his salary cap hit is $9.5 million. So they now have $9.5 million to play around with. As long as Mark Stone doesn't come back in the regular season, the second he gets healthy, they have to put him on the active roster. But the way it always works out, and it's always funny to me, they always get healthy once the playoffs start. It's never the last week of the regular season. It's never the day before the playoffs. It's always game one, I'm ready to go when he's playing. It happened with Kucherov. It happens every playoff round. It happened last year with the Vegas Golden Knights. So it would not surprise me if Mark Stone laces up first game. Oh, I just got a text from Jake Gensel. It says, "Hey, sorry, it's been a crazy day. I just got to the airport. Now, what are you thinking?" Maybe he can call from the airport. Let me just respond to the text now. But that's annoying. But want to call from the airport? Producer Alex, can he just call in from his cell phone? I don't know if that's doable or not. But yeah, the way the LTIR works, these guys make it work. This has been an issue now for the last 4 years because teams have been circumventing it. They're doing things like this. If a player's hurt, they just throw him on the LTIR and just say, "Hey, take a month and a half break. We're going to get some great players for the playoff run," especially Mark Stone. The guy's been through the ringer. He has neck fusion surgery or back surgery. I don't know what kind of surgery he had, but it was a serious one. And he played in the Cup Finals last year, so he's played a lot of hockey.
So it's 3:04 now. So the trade deadline is officially passed. But as usual, there's always a couple trades that get snuck in last minute that haven't broken yet. So we'll have a few more come in. But I want to talk to you, John, about a couple of teams, 3 or 4, that made a couple of small moves but didn't do a whole lot. I'm talking about the Rangers, who added Alex Wennberg. Toronto added Joel Edmondson. The Edmonton Oilers added Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick. And the Bruins added Andrew Peak and Pat Maroon. You know, nice little pieces, nice little supplements, but none of those teams that are all atop the standings went all in like you saw with Vegas, Colorado, et cetera. What are your thoughts on those teams standing relatively pat?
I don't care. It's there, you know, it's always frustrating, I think, for a fan base. You can see in the chat, everybody's like, what are the Rangers doing? Like, what's going on? And I don't blame you. If I'm Chris Drury, what are we doing here? Like, we have a really good team. We've shown we can beat anybody in the league. Let's trade one of our young studs. Let's get rid of Kaapo Kakko and make a move and try to improve our team. So it's frustrating. But those moves, like, when you're seeing these massive amounts of talent shifting from east to west and all over the place, you think a Jack Roslovic's going to move the needle? No. You know what I mean? Do you think a Pat Maroon's going to make the right Bruins all of a sudden a Stanley Cup champion when you go out and you have to play the Carolina Hurricanes, who has Jake Gensel staring at you? Do you think that's going to make a difference? No. It's just so – no, honestly, no. Those guys are cute. They're fun to talk about. With the amount of talent that's shifted in this league in the last 2 days, it's crazy. Like last year, the biggest deal would have been Adam Henrique going to Edmonton. That's a big deal. That gives them depth.
Yep.
It gives them another center option. That gives them a guy who's great on the kill. Same with Sam Carrick. That's a good deal. But we're not even talking about it because of all the monumental trades that have happened in the last 2 days. Like there's been some seismic activity, Tim, that we don't see. And then you look at teams like Toronto. Joel Edmondson? What? Like, it really? Is that what we're going to bank our Stanley Cup hopes on?
And it's, I like the player. I like the move, but the fact that that's all they did, that's the problem. You know what I mean? Edmondson has been a good player on multiple cup runs when he was younger, including St. Louis and then Montreal. Let's log in a ton of minutes, putting a ton of miles on the body. He's one of those do whatever it takes to win type defensemen. He's strong. He's big. He's got a heavy shot. Not a lot of offense, but he can play a top four role. He might be relegated to a top or maybe a bottom pairing role at this point in his career, but he's a good player. But Toronto, your window is I wouldn't say it's narrow, but like you should be winning now. You should be going all in like Colorado is, like Vegas is, and you had the opportunity. These players are moving. There are so many guys on the market. There are so many teams that are going all in, and you're just kind of watching by. You're on the sidelines, like letting the league pass you by, and I just don't understand that. And sometimes it has to do with like the price. Like Vancouver really wanted Hanifin. Really wanted Tarasenko, weren't willing to pay what it costs, right? But this is the team that already added Zadorov. You know, they already added, who's the other defenseman they added, Vancouver? Who am I missing? They added guys in the last couple of weeks leading up to this trade deadline, right? And so that's different.
Sorry, I'm texting Jake Gensel. I have bigger fish to fry than talk about Vancouver. I'm texting an NHL superstar, Tim. I can't What's listen to everything you have to say. Jake
What's he saying?
Gensel. I said I don't want to rush you and have you on the show and make it. No, I'm going to save him for dropping the gloves next week. I'm being selfish on this one. I don't want to rush him on and only have like 2 minutes with the kid. He's at the airport. He's got some time, but push him. You know, he's excited. He's going – well, he's got to be super excited. Pittsburgh, sinking ship, Carolina, rising starship. What are they called? A rocket ship? A rising rocket ship. But anyway, should we get the winners and losers?
Made that up right now. So, yeah, just a couple quick things here before we get into the winners and losers. Vancouver stayed put, and they did not sign Phil Kessel. That was their window to sign him if they wanted him for the playoffs.
Oh,
they
decided, no.
Yeah, Phil will not be there for the playoff run. David Savard stayed put. The Habs did not trade him. The Oilers didn't add anybody else. The Rangers didn't add anybody else. So, really, the last thing that we saw go through was Hurdle, which was broken by Bob McKenzie, who's retired. He got it before everybody else. But it was a major one.
Colin Miller to the Jets.
Yep.
But that's a minor one from the Devils. The Devils have finally just punted. They said, we're done. It was not our year. We had Stanley Cup aspirations and we can't do it. So they're out. New York State is happy. They now have one team that hopefully can win them the cup, and that's the New York Rangers, because the Islanders aren't doing anything. The Devils, the Sabres, done. We're all in on the Rangers if you live in the New York State. I know the Devils aren't in New York. I know. Give me a break, that area. Geographical. All right, Tim. Should we get to winners and losers, or is there anything else you want to touch upon?
No, let's do it. And let's work from number one down to number five. And the first one is I don't know that they would have been my first one until about 5 minutes ago. But based on the last trade they did, I think we have to give that to them. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they come in with the Hail Mary and they nail it with the Hurdle trade. They had, like I said, they got the best defenseman on the market in Noah Hanifin. They go out, they make a good secondary piece in Anthony Mantha, gives them some depth. I think a third line guy is where he fits in. And then you get Thomas Hurdle, who arguably just steps onto the ice as their best player. Like, he's going to turn some heads to him. Like, he's so incredibly good. I got to watch him every day for a year. He's so incredibly good. So they're my number one, not hands down, but based on that Hurdle trade, you cannot say they're not the winners when they get the best defenseman and the best forward available. No offense to Jake Gensel. Yeah. I think he's very good. I think Thomas Hurdle's better.
I'll go next with the Colorado Avalanche, who we thought was probably the winner so far until this Hail Mary trade went through. And a lot of it was addition by subtraction. And again, that's Ryan Johansson just not working out, not putting up production. And turns out he wasn't really getting along with the guys in the room. You get rid of Bowen Byram, which hurts, but you bring in Casey Mittelstadt, which was a much needed second line center. And you bring in Sean Walker, who's a young defenseman who can play in all situations. Exactly like to be at number three behind Taze and Makar is such a sweet spot for Walker. He's going to be so good for that team. So I'll put Colorado as number two. And then three, I think you've got to give it to the Hurricanes. And this was a team that I thought, you know, I recorded the intro for our Drop in the Gloves a few hours ago, and I thought that the Hurricanes were going to be the winners. Because, and I'll tell you why, you get who we thought was the best player at the deadline in Jane Gensel, and you get Kuznetsov, who came out of nowhere, and you think, okay, they are the winners, and they did both of these things without giving up any of their top prospects. They have a lot of, like, really studs in the NCAA that are playing really, really well right now, who are obviously young. Didn't give up any of those guys. They didn't give up their first round pick. One of them's conditional, but I really love what they did. So I'll say Hurricanes are number three. The number four is the Panthers. I love them adding Tarasenko. I love them adding Kyle Okposo. So the Panthers really did a lot. And number five, and this is not a team that is in there for the additions they made, but for the subtractions they made and getting the absolute max value for all the trades. John, I'm talking about the Calgary Flames. Who's the GM? The interim GM?
Conroy.
Craig Conroy. Yeah, like to take over a team that was just in shambles, missing an identity, not producing in the playoffs, and you all their star players are turned over, and to go and get all of the assets, multiple first-round picks, young players, guys with something to prove, and really get max value for all those pieces that you gave away. Just outstanding work, I think, from Conroy, who's a young, not say young, but rookie GM. Just really good work from them.
I think the key to him, they get three first rounders next year in 2025, which is supposed to be a deeper draft. This year's draft, not so kind of top heavy with Macklin Calabrini, who's going to go to the Hawks, my Hawks, and play with Connor Bedard. But yeah, good job by him. Another rookie GM I want to just give a brief shout out. I think Danny Briere did pretty good with the Philadelphia Flyers. I like what he's done so far with his tenure with Philadelphia. He's not married to his players. He trades them if he has to trade them. He gets good returns when he trades a guy. So good on him. Like I think he's done a relatively good job in Philadelphia on a ship that was sinking, and he's done a decent job, and they played really well on the ice this year. So good. And he's did what I always say you should do. Yes, they're doing good, not good enough to win the Stanley Cup. So you still have to plan for next year, and that's what he's doing.
So the losers here, we're going to get into the bottom five teams that didn't do enough or didn't make the right moves. We touched on some of them already. John, your number one pick for the losers was the New York Islanders. What's your logic for that one?
Lack of activity. You could have put the Rangers here too. You could just swap both of them. I'm very disappointed in both of these teams. It just, and that's par for the course for Lou Lamoriello. He said it before the trade deadline. He's like, I might not make any moves. And then you have to stare at him in the face and you go, why? Because you're in first place in the East and you're locked in and your team is just a juggernaut? Is that why, Lou? Because you have so much young talent that you don't want to disrupt the future of these guys and you don't want to stunt their growth by bringing somebody in? Like somebody asked a question earlier, will it mess up the dynamic in the room? Is that why? No, you have one of the oldest teams in the league. Currently, you're sitting outside of the playoffs and your lineup is ridden with terrible contracts that nobody wants. So yeah, great job, Lou. You're killing it. Still riding the coattails of those Stanley Cup wins with the Devils. Good job. Great job. Did absolutely nothing. That's always good.
The other team that you mentioned who we had at number two is the LA Kings. And I'm assuming it's a similar thing for just not doing anything. Anything particular you want to touch on with them?
Not really. This team excited me. They've been playing well since the All-Star break. I thought they would make some moves, maybe make a move for some talent. I know they have a little bit of cap space. They could have moved. They're around $4 million. They have some young guys who they could have leveraged into some talent, but I don't know. It is a good thing. It is a bad thing. Rob Blake, I think, maybe sees the writing on the wall. This isn't their year, but they could have won a round if they would have made a move. But they're still a good team. You can't fault him for inactivity, but with all the talent moving around, it's tough to see that in LA not doing anything. So I don't know. they could have been lower on the list. I think there's worse teams. Yeah.
I'm going to do the next three kind of together. I'll do them relatively quickly. Three we had as the third loser was the Leafs. I feel like they probably had a lot to add and a lot of holes in this roster because you've seen the same team relatively similar to the Islanders. It's been the same group year over year. And they just didn't do anything. I like Joel Edmondson. I like that pickup. I like you said a few minutes ago, the fact that this is really the only move they made is just not good enough. And I don't know if it had to do with the cost of things or whatever tree living, whatever you call them, was not, I don't know, didn't like the cost and wasn't willing to give up whatever it would have taken. Obviously, the Leafs are an excellent team. I expect them to win at least one round this year, depending on the first round matchup. Not if it's Boston. They're 0-7 against Boston in their last seven. Boston beat them last night. But I feel like the Leafs really should have done more. And I'll go to number four, the Rangers, for the same thing. We have a great chat question about the Rangers. And this is a question from, let me pull it up here. Rotislav, he said, as a Rangers fan, I'm very disappointed. I think the Rangers don't have any chance to go to the finals. John, do you feel like that's a little bit too negative, or do you think he's fair to say that?
Well, based on what other teams in his division did, when you look at the East, I think it's the Panthers first, and then the Hurricanes jump up to second spot, and then you still have to deal with the Leafs, and then you got to deal with the Lightning, and then you got to deal with the Bruins. So there's a lot of good teams in the East, and the Rangers, I think they just fall into that group of second tier teams, whereas the Panthers and the Hurricanes are now in the first tier.
So for everyone in the chat, we're going to do one more loser and then wrap it up with some questions. So drop it in if you want us to cover in the last 5 or 10 minutes of the show. The fifth one, and I'll take this one, John, it's the Boston Bruins. A little bit disappointed. And I kind of said going into this, I don't think they need to do a ton. I don't think they're gearing up, and I don't think they have a lot of assets in terms of young players or draft picks and things like that. They went all in last year, like we talked about. So the fact that they didn't make a ton of moves makes sense logically, but it's still disappointing when you have a team as good as they are. And the two moves you get is Pat Maroon, who is, he's a 12th forward at best. If he doesn't play in the playoffs at all, which is one of the conditions of it, the pick doesn't go the other way. It's just a prospect that we traded.
It's funny they have that condition in the trade. That's funny.
Right. Yeah. And I think he probably does play. He's got the pedigree. And the fourth line it's been playing well lately, but it's Brazio, who they just called up. It's Jesper Boqvist, who's a good, a shifty little guy, but he's not super effective. And Jacob Lauka, who I thought was going to be better and hasn't totally worked out. So Maroon will get a shot. And maybe we even put him with a Frederick or a Coyle or a JVR and create like a heavy line that can toss some bodies around. But I don't know. It's not super exciting. And Andrew Peak is a good defenseman. He's 6'3", 215, big body. He'd been logging.
Tim, just let it go. 20. It's a terrible trade deadline for the Bruins. Stop trying to make it better by just like talking yourself. It was
bad. I had him as a loser, man. Bad. Yeah.
When you're spending a lot of time on him. Though, maybe they'll have a heavy line. That's what we do in the NHL now. We have big, slow, heavy lines. That's what wins. Come on.
So
let's just not get worked up.
Okay, here's the official return on Hurdle. He has been traded for a first in 2025, 2/3, and a small 17% retained. Not a whole lot. I mean, a first round pick next year, not even this coming year. I don't know. Would you expect that to be for more?
It's tricky here because of the amount of term that you have on Thomas Hertl's contract. He still has 6 years left on his $8.7 million deal. And I know he's a good player. That's a lot of money, especially when you have – there's already two centermen on the team, and you already invested almost $20 million in those guys, 19 and a half. So now you have three centermen making almost $30 million. And then how much ice is there to go around? Will Thomas Hertl slot in it as a winger? We don't know about that. But if he's playing on the third line, that's great. That's a luxury to have. But that's a lot of money on the third line. Like that, I don't know how they're going to jumble the lines. But goodness gracious. Whew, that isn't a huge return. 2025 is supposed to be a good draft. But where's Vegas going to pick in 2025? So, yeah, interesting.
So we're going to get some questions in a minute, but all told on the last, 72 hours, tons of trades, tons of movements, superstars being traded. Why do you think this is such an active trade deadline? We talked about just, you know, sometimes it's less active, sometimes it's more. Sometimes you'll see one or two big ones. This is the busiest I can remember. What do you think was the recipe that made something like this happen this year?
Well, I think the salary cap has a lot to do with it. There was just a lot of GMs planning for next year. And I think people are realizing you have to get rid of salary to improve your team year after year. And you're seeing teams do that, whether it's the Pittsburgh Penguins, whether it's the San Jose Sharks. So you have to get rid of a very good player in order to be competitive in years coming. So I just think the salary cap is a real thing. But yeah, and then there's just, who knows? I think more teams being in the hunt helps. More teams being in a Stanley Cup hunt helps. There's not one clear-cut team that's like, Stanley Cup, this is ours. It's ours to lose. There's a lot of parity in the league right now, so GMs just want to get after it too. Who knows? Not Lou Lamoriello. Someone just said in the chat that 4 years in a row, Tim, the guy hasn't made a deal. Like, why did we – isn't that bonkers? Not one trade 4 years in a row? You think like an old dog doesn't learn new tricks? It's true. It's absolutely true. So, gosh, God bless him. He doesn't change. Maybe he should. Maybe you should fire him. Fire him, Tim, we could. All right, what else?
I want to ask about the Colorado Avalanche again. Obviously, they're very, very good up top and on the back end, but they didn't make any moves at goalie. And that was just a surprise to some people, including one of the guys in the chat. Do you feel like they're okay with going with Georgiev as their number one for a deep playoff run?
That was a question from Two-Tone Blue for life. No, I'm not sold on Georgiev to win the Stanley Cup. I don't think he's going to be the best goalie in the division, but I've said it for years. I'm going to stand by my word. You don't need a superstar goalie to win a Stanley Cup. I think if Georgiev just as good, go out there, make the saves you're supposed to make, you will win games. We saw it last year with Logan Thompson. Yes, he was great at times. Guy wasn't their starter going into the playoffs. It was Aiden Hill. Hill gets hurt. Thompson comes in, then he rides the wave. So they can win with Georgiev. They won with Darcy Kuemper. So they can win with Georgiev for sure, 100%.
Dallas was very quiet during the trade deadline. This is from Jonesy08. How do you feel about the Stars' moves before the deadline, or really the lack thereof? Would you expect them to do more?
You would hope so, right? You get the Tanev deal. That's early on. We like that. We thought that was going to be a start for the Dallas Stars, especially where they sit right now in the standings. They are top of the Metro, I want to say. They're right in position as a Stanley Cup champion. Why not go out and make just a minor move, a depth move? I don't know. You can't fault them. I think they have a pretty strong team. So I'm not as upset as I am at the Rangers. You know what I mean? Because I feel like the Rangers do have some holes that they could have filled. Dallas Stars are pretty good. And I like the Tanev move. They needed more of a PK D-man to come and fill in with those puck moving defensemen, so it would have been nice, but sometimes you can't make anything happen.
Fastel12 says, please talk about the mess Billy G has made of the Wild roster. He could have kickstarted a rebuild of this deadline if he hadn't give all those NTCs no trade contracts for the veterans. I don't blame Garen for the mess that the Wild are in, or do you?
Garen really had nothing to do with it. Yeah, so right now the no move clause is for them. Zuccarello has one. Frederick Gaudreau has one. You got Jonas Brodin with one. I don't think any of these contracts are signed when he was the GM. Maybe I'm wrong. He just gave one to Zach Bogosian, but it's a modified no trade clause. So I don't know. Like, Billy came in. These are all, what was it, Chuck Fletcher's deal? So I don't know. It is what it is. He's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken. I don't know if we can swear on Bleacher Report, so I'm not going to get in trouble by Alex. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't blame him too much. He's just trying to make the best out of a bad situation there in Minnesota.
One trade we didn't talk about at all was Tyler Toffoli to the Jets, which I just love. I think it's a fantastic trade. Again, he's going to round up their top six, probably in the second line with Monahan and Vilardi they're looking at. They might juggle things a little bit to see where the chemistry falls in. But what do you think about what he's going to do for this team?
Oh, great. Yeah. The Winnipeg Jets are a really good team. I think he fits in nicely. You have so many vets on that team, but really none of them know how to win a Stanley Cup. They've been in the playoffs a million years. Everybody's played playoff games, but he's going to be the one who hopefully shows them what it takes to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The guy's done it. He's fantastic. He always seems, he's like a Jeff Carter. The game rises when you hit the playoffs, and he loves the big moments. So I like that move too. And they didn't pay much for him. Would they give up like a second or third rounder for Tyler Toffoli? So good for them. I like it. It's good, but it gets overshadowed by just all the big names moving. But yeah, he might be one of the better pieces added this deadline.
Yeah, Stephen Loftus wants to know, we mentioned Flyers as an honorable mention for the top five winners of the trade deadline. Could they have done anything to get in the top five? I'll answer my part of this quickly. Not a whole lot. You know, someone had to be the odd man out. All these other teams made more moves. But I feel like the Flyers have only good things to say about what they did at the deadline. And really, since Briere has taken over last year, I think they've just done pretty good work in building this team and moving some of their bad contracts, like the JVR, like Risto, like some of the other guys they've gotten rid of. They bring back Cooch. They give him the C. You have a young up-and-coming core with Farabee and Konechny, who I think is just a great little player. Anything else to say on the Flyers?
No, I think you nailed it, because you're still trying to – this isn't a complete rebuild for the Philadelphia Flyers. You're trying to build for next year based on what you did this year. So you don't want to mortgage your future when you still have potential to be a better team. It's not like the San Jose Sharks, who are in a rebuild for the next, like, decade. These Flyers could be a really dangerous team next year. They still have really good pieces. Their back end is a huge question mark. But up front, I like what they're doing. I think you nailed it, Tim. You don't want to mortgage the future – just for the sake of making a trade this year. I think you want to keep good players when you have them, because they are a luxury in the NHL. When you can have a Konechny, a Farabee, a Lawton, a Couturier who's having a bounce back year, those are the guys you want on your team. Those are the guys you want to build with. So, no, I think they did everything they could have done. I like what they did. Danny Briere is a heck of a good GM.
Couple more quick things here before we wrap up. FBR203 has asked what the Rangers offered the Pens for Gensel. That hasn't been reported yet. I assume at some point it will be. I'm assuming hopefully it involved Kako, but I don't think that it did. Obviously, it didn't go through. Couple quick things, John, before I throw it back to you to end it. Frank just tweeted out a few minutes ago, the fascinating day for the Bruins. Sounded like they had a deal on the table to move Linus Ullmark to the Kings. It didn't end up going through. And that's the last strange thing here from Pierre LeBrun said Hurdle is expected back before the playoffs. So he will be on their regular season roster at some point. John, heck of a deadline, lots of moves. What are your kind of closing thoughts here?
It was fun. At least we had something to talk about. Last year was a snooze fest. So it's always great when there's moving pieces and the GMs are active and we can be fun and have some fun. And yes, I know the Minnesota, I'm sorry. Guerin did sign a lot of guys to no move clause, but sometimes that's what you have to do. I just like Billy Guerin. Maybe that's why I didn't want to critique him. So I understand that. But yeah, I appreciate it. Bleacher Report, thanks for coming out. Thanks for having us. Hopefully we can do it again. If not, come and check out my podcast, Dropping the Gloves. And thanks for watching, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.